simple. How are we going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM Radio in Philadelphia and the tri-state area. As always, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in to 860 AM. Now, if you live outside the Philadelphia area and you're on the Internet, you can listen live or to rebroadcast simply by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, our panel is full today, and we are ready to go. First of all, joining us is Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, East Coast Vice President of SCORE, and also Rich Logis, Principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer. Best wishes to Henry Chaplinsky, to all of you. And also, we want to thank Tim Holleran and the gang at 860 for their endless support. I'm Michael Blihash here at 860 AM's American Workers Radio. Well, first of all, I'd like to take a minute to say thanks to everyone that is going out of their way to support the products made and assembled by American workers. I'm really pleased to hear directly from people when they see me in my travels, and I do a lot of traveling around, letting me know that they're supporting America's businesses, large and small. They're shopping in the small businesses and speaking up, because we want not only people to be buying things, but we want Americans employed from the point of production to the point of sale. And your local stores, your hoagie shops, your pizza shops, your bakeries, and hundreds of other local businesses all need your businesses throughout the year, and they really appreciate what you're doing. I'm really pleased that some of them are getting involved with National Small Business Weekend. And, of course, the small businesses add so much to the local economy that most people don't even realize how important those businesses are. So help us spread this message by inviting everyone you know to tune in to American Workers Radio every time you go shopping at one of the businesses. Let them know that they're invited also to support the Buy American Made campaign. Now, I want to say I know that a lot of that is not easy, but working together, we are seeing things change around. One more note. Last Friday, I participated at another community fair sponsored by Pennsylvania State Representative John Taylor, a very longtime supporter of our efforts. The attendance was very large, and I had the pleasure to speak with hundreds of people who are our radio listeners and supporters. Everybody's talking about the Buy American Made campaign, and I gave out about 500 flyers, and I listened to a lot of opinions. And I mean to tell you, a lot of opinions. So I want to compliment Pennsylvania State Representative John Taylor for a very great event and for always including us and what we're doing. As I speak to people, I can see without question that they're disgusted to see what happened in America. They're disgusted that major businesses are selling so many foreign products, that American labels have been pushed aside and replaced with foreign-made items. And it's been going on for many years. So I'm going to compliment the people. I know we're going to have more listeners coming into the fold because I keep giving more and more flyers. And I see that more and more people come on our guest book and sign up. So a great big welcome from all of our panel members. Thank you for all that you're doing to support American Made. Well, today I'm going to ask our panel members to focus on the needs of America and American workers. As Larkin Connolly often says, the most important politics are local politics. And that's really very true, and I can say that without question, because I go to a number of these fairs, just like I mentioned, State Representative John Taylor. I was at Gene DiGirolamo, State Representative's fair. I went to the fair sponsored by Senator John Sabatina. These are people from both sides of the aisle, but they are really promoting Buy American, jobs for Americans. So local politicians certainly do their job. I have a great relationship with our people in city council, people like Alan Dom and Mark Skula, and all really push the idea of let's get our businesses moving again. With that, I am going to go to our panel members and ask them to give us some insight as to what they see happening. Let's start off today with Rich.
Hey, Michael, Larkin, Mark, listeners, good morning, and well wishes to Henry for a speedy recovery. We're going to miss his engineering skills. We've got to get him back to work ASAP. A couple things, Michael, if I may. I'd like to first start with my usual public service announcement. I want our listeners to know we're down to a little over 19 days until our election. And it's not just for president. We have Congress, governors, state and local. I had a, if you guys will indulge me for a moment, quick story. I had a conversation with a few acquaintances of mine who identify as progressive. Very nice people, but politically they're the kind of people who keep me awake at night. So we got into a discussion about our Supreme Court, and I asked them if they could actually tell me all of the justices on the Supreme Court, since they were so concerned by it. And they didn't know all the justices. Well, let me tell you guys, I do know all the justices by name. And the next president will potentially have three selections to make for the Supreme Court. Anthony Kennedy is pushing 80. Clarence Thomas is pushing 70. Stephen Breyer is pushing 80. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg's pushing 200. So when you add it all up, that's potentially four justices. Now, Larkin, I have a question for you. How long do you think it would take to overturn a 7-2 Supreme Court with progressive judicial activists? By my estimation, it would take about a century, give or take. So how long do you guys and your kids and grandkids plan on living?
Is that a question for me?
Yes, or question it is.
That's a question for all of you guys. Politics are local. Larkin, you're right. Larkin, you're right. All politics are local. But what happens when local and state governments decide to try to govern? Like you said, Larkin, don't tell me what works in California will work in Vermont or vice versa. Right, there's a reason why we have national and state sovereignty. What happens if a very courageous and brave mayor, for example, decides that there's a certain safety problem or something is happening in his or her city or state, as we saw recently with the states who fought President Obama's executive order on the DREAM Act, which would give residency to those who are illegals or whose children are citizens, right, born here. And a number of states led by Texas, they decide to go to the Supreme Court. And once it got there, the states wound up winning because it was a 4-4 tie. A 4-4 tie upholds the lower court's ruling. So, yeah, all politics are local, Arkansas. But what happens if a governor or mayor is staring down the barrel of a 5 or 6 or 7 judicial activist court? See, that changes the game up.
It does, and I think it's for that reason and that reason alone that this national election really does have this is by far the most important election that we've had in my lifetime. No question.
Agreed.
Of it, Rich, because it has long-lasting effects. I'm hoping that the Republicans do well enough that there's a balance of power and that the last thing in the world I want is a totally Democratic Congress and a Democratic president. The last thing I want equally as much is an all-Republican Congress and an all-Republican a Republican president. They don't want that. Don't need it. It's not good for the country. There has to be a balance of power.
There has to be about a balance, and that's you're right, Lorcan. Everything we talk about is that 50-50 balance. That way everybody has an opinion, and everybody can put their facts and figures on the table.
So, Rich, to that end, I might add something just as a slight aside. I think I know where you stand on the issues, but if I listen hard enough, I also think I know where your daughter stands on the issues. I hear your daughter in the background.
Yeah, I hear her, Rich. Well, see, the perfect example. Larkin, you're doing this, what you're doing so well for your children and your grandchildren. Rich is now doing it for his daughter, and Mark has his children. I have my children and grandchild. I mean, we're not concerned about, I mean, just the fact that all this ugliness is coming out in this election is, maybe it's important that it finally come out so the people who are going to go out and vote can see what ugliness really happens and how people claw their way up the ladder for that power to get in there so they would be put in a, you know, in a god situation. We're not really electing a king or a queen. We're electing somebody who is going to do something positive for America. Mark, what would you say?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Larkin, Rich, Mike, and I, too, wish Henry good luck on recovery. You know, Mike, we all know this is a huge day because the last debate is tonight, and this is a huge election for many, many reasons. I wonder, just watching both sides and different TV shows, and Larkin and Rich are my educators on politics, and just how did we get so corrupt and, you know, above the law? A lot of people, it's just there's so much, you know, people just aren't held accountable and responsible anymore, and we need big change in many, many areas, and whoever wins would have to do that. And I just, with Hillary, there's just so much corruption that they're not talking about that it worries me that she feels she's above the law, and how would she take care of our law afterward?
You know, Mark, I agree with you, and I wanted to say this to our listeners. Last week I was a little tough on Donald Trump. And it's only because I've been doing this politics, both local and national, since Nixon. I've been involved. I think I have just a vague idea of what works and what doesn't work. And I think taking the election to this low a point might not work. But on the other hand, I've had people tell me, well, what are you talking about corruption in the Clintons? The Clintons haven't done anything. This is all manufactured stuff. You know, my father always said that where there's smoke, there's generally fire. And if you hang around in the woods and one end of the woods is smoking for 15 years, there's going to be a fire eventually. The Clintons have a track record that is frightening. It really is frightening. And I blame Bill Clinton on lowering the moral fiber of this country by about 3 degrees lower, maybe even more than that. And now, with the civil and criminal stuff that we're talking about, the Clintons get another whack at lowering the bar, another. So I can really complain, yell, and rant at both parties because I never imagined in my lifetime that we would be at this point. I never did.
I never saw anything like it, Larkin. You're right.
No, there's never been anything like it. And tonight is either going to prompt me to turn it off in the first 10 minutes, or I'm going to listen very interested at what is said, and hope that some people think longer and deeper about the implications about voting for either person. And you know, maybe it is the lesser of two evils. I hate to think that our presidential election has ever gotten to a point where it's the lesser of two evils.
Right.
But That's what it's being called by a lot of people. I know that there are people out there that Sarah is going to say something this afternoon in an appearance that she's going to make on one of these silly talk shows about what she's going to do if one of these people is elected. You know, I guess what I say to the producers of that program and to the American public is who cares what Cher thinks?
Right.
Who cares?
Well, you know what? If they don't like America, there is nobody stopping you from getting
Mike,
out.
You know, on the bus now,
there should
people,
be somebody stopping you from coming back.
Yeah, on my bus speeches and that, I add that I will not apologize for being patriotic. I do love America. I just hope tonight they stick to helping Americans, the hardworking Americans, us. You know, they stick to the economy and jobs, security in our border, ISIS, the illegals. You know, I hope they stay on topic. And we do need less tax. We need less regulations. We need smart trade deals. You know, we need to tax the imports. I hope they stay on topic. But, boy, do we need help. I can't even picture the country now. Say Trump loses and Hillary goes. Unbelievable division to me.
It is. You know what, Mark? You're absolutely right.
I just can't. Yeah.
There's something
and
that
I
no.
Have,
yes.
I have no idea where we will go, Mark. I'm with you 100%.
You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine. I know that I know a lion's share of the people who are criticizing either side are people who have no idea what the engine of this country is. They have no idea. None whatsoever. They've never met a payroll. They've never struggled with employees. They've never struggled with the conception of with the proof of concept of a product that they're trying to introduce. They've been on the support of somebody. They've supported somebody else's dream. You know, I've always said, if you're out there working for somebody, you're making their dream come true, not yours.
Larkin, well said.
And we have so many people that are working real hard to make other people's dreams come true that they don't understand that the engine of this economy is the entrepreneur. The engine of this economy is the small businessman who has been abused by banks, has been abused by large corporations, has been abused by government regulations, has been abused by politicians who have no clear understanding of where they fit, and they make this empty promise that all of a sudden we're going to take care of small businesses. I understand what the small
and
businesses
and Larkin, you couldn't say that better, because we're alone on this, and like you said, if Cher comes out and says something, unfortunately people will grab that more than knowing what it takes to run a business, to pay a payroll, and to create jobs. And it's amazing how I'm seeing the disconnect, how people just do not understand how it works.
Right.
You know, guys, Larkin, you just bottled up brilliantly with all the negativity and the really dark places that this election's gone. You really bottled up. I think what's propelling the fact that a total outsider with no political experience has gotten this far. You know, Larkin, you talk about moral degradation. You've mentioned the breakdown of the family. Mark, you're talking about the breakdown of law and order. You know, my calling card on this show has been, hey, look at these two parties. Are they really altogether that different? And we're in a situation now because of this election that all of these things are at the forefront, and also at the forefront is the fact that our American mainstream political media just looks like the Pravda Soviet newspaper for the Democratic Party. I mean, all of the WikiLeaks stuff is – all it's doing is confirming. Some people are learning for the first time about this, but all we're seeing with the media is just disgusting collusion with the Democrats. And all of these moral and honesty and integrity and spiritual problems, these problems are going to linger past the election. But, you know, we're at a buffet, and all of us, we've got to eat. And, Michael, the thing that I'm going to slightly disagree with you on, you know, you say we're not electing a king or a queen. And in theory, we're not. But I'm going to propose once again to our audience and our listeners that I believe that if Hillary Clinton is elected, the Democrats will never lose another presidential election or Supreme Court ever again, ever.
Well, I don't share that
That's fine, Larkin.
No, I respect what you're saying. I completely respect what you're saying. I think it will take a terribly long time for the Republicans to recover. And I'm not, I'm just not in a position right now to blame this solely on Republicans. I mean, on Democrats. We're a misguided country. There's just no question of it. And I'm not so sure that we gain a tremendous amount. I want to say this properly without making it sound like I'm for or against one of the candidates. But I know what Hillary Clinton's going to do. I know that it's more a progressive government. I know it's more government. I know it's higher taxes. I know it's a complete and total disrespect for the middle class. I know it's a complete and total disrespect for the small businessman. I know it's more regulation. We know what's going to happen there. I'm not so sure that I can predict what Trump is going to do, but, I have no guarantee. I have no guarantee that he has his eye on the ball, I don't worry about either one of them pressing the button. Read the book Dereliction of Duty, and you'll figure out very quickly that no president really has the ability to get pissed and press a button. It just can't happen. It's not going to happen. There are too many protections against that. But, it makes great campaign fodder. Trump's a fiery individual. I mean, he gets fired up. So it gives some credence to that concern. Maybe, I don't know. But, we're in a mess. Well, Mark is 100% right. We're in a world of hurt right now.
We are terribly in a world of hurt. And I'm urging every person listening, make sure you watch the debate, the entire debate. Let's see what it's all about. Let's see what they have to offer. I mean, I know that the debate has been bloody. It has been a smear-a-thon. But a lot of things came out in this election that the American people were very ignorant of forever. We're seeing what exactly these people, what tricks they'll play in order to become elected, to push somebody else aside. What I want to see is the needs and concerns of the American people put front and center now until Election Day. The American people pay the taxes that keep America going. I don't know, Mark, unless you could tell me different. Do we receive tax dollars from foreign workers or foreign governments? I don't think so. So we have to stay focused on the needs of the American people. Today, what's going to happen tonight and what we do from now until Election Day on the 8th is going to translate for the well-being of our future generations. Isabella and Gabriella and all the others.
Michael, if we may have a guest next week, a very special guest, and if that special guest is listening right now, if there's any little bit of advice I can offer for tonight's debate, now is the time to get past the personalities. At this point now, anyone who's been paying attention and is objective, which unfortunately there are millions of people who aren't, but those who are paying attention and are objective, they know the issues. We know the personalities. We know all of that. What tonight is about, the vision and message for the kind of country that we want to do business in, the kind of country we want to educate our children in, our grandchildren, the kind of country that has law and order, accountability, fairness, a more honest government. That's what tonight is supposed to be. Well, they're all supposed to be about that, but this is the night to do it, because this is the last time that tens of millions of people are going to have their eyeballs on both candidates. Do these debates matter? Are there that many undecideds? Well, I don't know, guys. I mean, I got to tell you, I don't know. My day-to-day conversations I have with people, some days I find there's some undecided. Some days I feel like there aren't, and I think that the Republican nominee has to talk tonight to independents and other undecideds and swing voters, and make it clear the difference. Don't say vote for me because I'm not her. Create the message to vote for me because you want me. Ronald Reagan, Larkin, did not win 44 and 49 states because people didn't want Carter and Mondale. He won 44 and 49 states, and I'm not comparing the two, but he won 44 and 49 states because people wanted him. It's a big difference. But we have 19 days left, guys. TikTok.
You know, as we get closer to the election, I'd like to put out this special invitation to Hillary Clinton and also Donald Trump to call in to our broadcast and say a few words. I'm very easy to contact. I listen to many opinions from people. They would like to hear directly from the candidates or maybe their closest surrogates. I'm very easy to contact. Kindly contact me at michael@americanworkersradio.com. That's michael@americanworkersradio.com. And I'll be more than happy to allow that person to have time on our broadcast to speak with our panel and address all of our listeners. What we do on this broadcast is try to unite people. I'm offering them to bring their message of unity to our broadcast, and let's put next Wednesday, October the 26th, as the day for us to do that.
I got a question for Rich. And Rich, it's regarding the media, and I think Trump has embarrassed the media. I say business and marketing, and Larkin, you'd agree, is marketing is 96% of any widget that you create. It's all about marketing, but I can't believe how out of balance the media, and Larkin, you hit it where it used to be who, what, where, when, why. And just, Rich, what's your take on the media from what you know being a journalist? And I mean, it's unbelievable to me how offside, like Clinton had a minute on the WikiLeaks, and you know, on Trump they had 37 minutes. It's incredible the out of balance.
Yeah, on one hand, Mark, as a former journalist, on one hand, first off, I think it's actually a very, very sad commentary on our country as a whole that we need to rely on hackers for transparency. And the what we identify broadly as the mainstream media has for many, many years been simply a quasi public relations PR firm for the Democratic Party. I mean, if you think back in history with the, right, Michael, the Pravda newspaper for the Communist Party in Russia, if you think about Goebbelsian propaganda in Germany in World War II, if you think about the arms of propaganda where government controls the media, which happens today, for example, in Iran and Russia and China and elsewhere in the Middle East, it's not an exact apples-to-apples comparison, Mark, but it shows that our mainstream media, long ago, lost all vestiges of credibility. And by the way, I'm no fan of Fox News. Let me just give our listeners a bit of facts here. News Corp is actually one of the largest corporate donors to the Clintons since the 90s. And Rupert Murdoch himself, who's a former CEO of Fox, he's wined and dined and contributed and is very much in line with many of Hillary Clinton's politics, although Hillary Clinton's politics are, of course, subject to change and available to the highest bidder, as we know. So, Larkin, to know that we have the most corrupt, most dishonest candidate to ever run for office whose belief system is subject to change, the WikiLeaks stuff proves that. That guarantee, as you pointed out, this has been a weird election. Well, that guarantee to me is far riskier than the risky choice.
Yeah, I think you got that's a bank robber opinion compared to a shoplifter.
You know, and that's just my opinion. And I
what do you think, Mike?
Rich,
did you hear that? I think we got a bank robber compared to a shoplifter. Maybe he took a candy bar, but here she's robbing banks all the time. You know, I mean, come on.
So my feeling on this is that all of this vitriolic campaigning is a result of a lot of things. It's supported by a American voting segment that is very mad. I mean, they are mad, and very passionate about changing Washington, about changing the status quo. But, you know, the whole mess started, as far as I'm concerned, when networks and cable television companies started the 24-hour news cycle. And when journalists ceased being journalists and became celebrities. They're celebrities. They're,
you're right. You know, and opinions, yeah.
You know what amazed me is they decided that Billy Bush needed to go NBC News, and probably rightfully so. I mean, yeah, how can you, you know, that was a pretty, that's pretty amazing what Billy did there with Trump. So they said, yeah, you know, you got to go. That's not the part that surprised me. The part that surprised me is as much of a journalist, I say, quote unquote, that one would think Billy Bush is. He's really not. He's an entertainer. NBC News, for the time he spent 1 hour a day on NBC's Today program, I believe, was making $3 million a year. That's not a journalist. That's an entertainer. And until we decide that we're going to abandon this need to have entertainers tell us about what's going right or wrong with the country, you know, and it used to be a day when I studied journalism that you worked very hard to make sure that opinion never got reported anywhere in that newspaper except on the opinion page. Not now. Not now. New York Times thinks nothing of putting an opinion on the front page. And that just is not American journalism. That's just not the way the press was supposed to work in this country. Is it needed? Yeah. Do we need somebody to draw the lines and to keep everybody in order? Yeah. Does it need to be on the front page? No. Especially when it's unproven accusations. That first story written on the front page about Donald Trump and his philandering, the two people that wrote it haven't withdrawn it, but they have admitted that their proof came from brothers, sisters, best friends. Yeah, he told me that 6 weeks ago. Really? I mean, so that's proof? I mean, whatever. Those same two people that wrote that article were the two people that wrote that front page article in the New York Times 3 months ago that they had to publicly detract on the front page of the New York Times.
Well, you know, Larkin, if they're trying to get any kind of money out of Trump, I would say it's going to be a hard job.
Well, there's a logical reason. I mean, Larkin, there is a logical reason why you're correct in your observation about the media being entertainment, because mainstream media, for the most part, is owned, operated, and run by Hollywood. It's Hollywood, the places, the companies that produce the movies we watch, the shows we watch, some of the music we listen to, etc. They also create the news. And so, and I say create the news because a great deal of our so-called news is a product that's manufactured in a boardroom somewhere. And I said this last week, and I want to reiterate this point for people. I'm not going to in any way dismiss the influence of media, but people are ultimately responsible for their own ignorance, their own informing themselves. I mean, objectivity in the U.S. right now is dead. Objectivity is dead. And, you know, we as a people, we killed it. So when my friends who are journalists tell me that there is no media, there's only the people. Well, when I was a journalist for 4 years, Mark, I never cared what the people thought or wanted. I cared about telling a story as fairly and as objectively and impartially as possible. And I did that for over 4 years. And whether I was covering a third-grade bake sale or allegations against police corruption or an election, I treated every single story as fairly as I possibly could. My opinions were irrelevant. Of course, journalists have opinions. Of course, they have political opinions. They have preferred candidates for politics. But that kind of thing has now made its way into so-called news reporting. So there's a very big blurred line between the New York Times editorial board and their news reporters. And I don't think, guys, I'm just going to tell you this, my prediction, I don't think the mainstream media is really ever going to recover. And if Donald Trump is elected president, I think we're actually going to see a brand new media market emerge. And that's what free enterprise, right, is ultimately, is that there's going to be a new end user desire for a certain type of news source online or elsewhere that the mainstream media is now going to have to compete with. And if Clinton is elected, I just don't the media has no incentive to change its approach because it will just continue to serve as a propaganda arm, PR firm for the Democratic Party. And that's where we're at, Mark.
I agree with what you're saying, and I will add this caveat that this is just as true for the right as it is for the left.
No doubt.
Fox News is much a culprit as anybody else.
I agree. You know what? There's just been too much focus on all the negativity. The biggest problem we have in the USA right now, we see it through this election, we've seen it in past elections, and of course I know it from working with local elected officials. They understand how important the job is because it adds right to the well-being of their local communities. But I don't think national elected leaders understand how much being employed adds to the well-being of an individual and also adds to the well-being of America. They simply don't care. Poor people are growing. Joblessness and poverty in America is growing. Can you tell me why, Rich?
Well, I can tell you, Michael, for in really a couple of brief terms right off the bat, We have the largest government in the history of America. Not coincidentally, Larkin, you mentioned big business corporations earlier. Well, the biggest government in American history, we've also had gazillionaires make the greatest gains that they've ever made. Do you guys think that's a coincidence? Of course it isn't. Gazillionaires love big government. This is why, as I was challenged recently about this, and I provided some evidence to the person who challenged, and he listens weekly, thank you, that I showed based on campaign finance contributions, the Democratic Party is by far the preferred party of millionaires and billionaires. That's not my opinion. That's based on campaign finance disclosures. So that's why those who you wonder, how is this billionaire and that billionaire and that gazillionaire and that multimillionaire, you wonder, like, what's in it for them? Well, what's in it for them is gazillionaires, millionaires, Michael, they love big government. They love the state as God. And that's our new industrial revolution, dependency.
Dependency, yes.
That's what it is.
And how did we give away all our manufacturing jobs? And we all know that was a vacuum for 30, 35 years. So all these jobs and manufacturings are lost overseas by bad trade deals and American businessmen wanting to make more and more by greed. But then now we're bringing in more and more people. So all our jobs are going, we're bringing in more and more people that are taxing and stressing the businesses that exist here. It's incredible that we continue to bring in people, and I love human beings. We cannot, the cost to bringing in people as we speak, this has to be shut down till we figure out the plan. We can't do both. We can't send all our jobs away and continue to grow our population.
You're right. And, you know, Mark, at one time,
it just doesn't work.
Bringing in immigrants or refugees was mainly done by charitable organizations and people that were out to help people resettle in America. Right now, all of that has been placed upon the government of the United States of America. And did you vote for it in a referendum, or Larkin or Rich or Henry or anybody else? The answer is no. Take a close look at the wreckage in America as a result of poor national leadership. You just drive down the roads. There are so many empty facilities where there were great manufacturing offices. And when we say manufacturing and industries, we don't only mean the people on the front line. We're talking about the people in the office, the salespeople, the shippers, the packers. It's a dozen and one people are affected by every industry that's lost. Also, Mark, you know in your own area, and Rich, you probably see it, and Larkin, you've known it very well. When a factory closes down, all of the local pizza places, the coffee shops, everyone is affected. You mean to tell me these politicians didn't see this 25, 35 years ago when they started with all that greed to put all the money in their pocket and the hell with the people? One older politician did tell me this, and it was very recently. He said, Michael, we never thought it would come to this. We thought it would come to a correction on its own. That's a national leader paid for 30 years to go to Washington, train rides, you know, laying on, you know, couches, getting massages and all that. And that's what he said. They never thought it would come to this.
Mike, in the American-made movie, you remember Detroit looks like a war zone from above, the factories that had left. And there's a revival on the American-made movie, and there's a new girl in charge of it, and it's kind of neat. It's doing real well. But that movie makes sense. You know, the can-do spirit, globalization's fine, but we've got to get back to making things in this country again.
Mark, you remember your most, in my opinion, your most memorable line in that film? What I recall as being your most memorable line, when you said, failure is not an option.
Yes.
Failure is not an option. 19 days, folks. 19 days. TikTok, are you in the game? Are you good? What if you get that call, right? You get that call. Let's say you're a sports team. You get that call because the star player goes down. Have you studied the playbook? Are you ready to get in the game, or are you ready to ride the pine?
See, Rich, I'm a doer, not a user, though. You know, it depends who you are, right?
Well, that's why you have that mentality, and that's why we all collectively have that
that's
mentality.
An American.
And, you know, we're talking something. As I go to these different fairs, I had several people come up to me and agree 1,000% with the fact that we dropped all the skilled programs, the trade programs, the technology programs in our school. Many of those people said, I benefited. I went to this particular school or that particular school. I had a job for 30 years. I can do this and that today. Yet my kids who are attending public schools, not only in the Philadelphia area, but in most places, they don't have access to the programs because there's a waiting list to get in.
Well, so, you know, you're taking me back to where I, you know, you're taking me back into my bell house. And what I've been saying all along, and that is, even if we could snap our fingers and bring all of the jobs back to American soil right now, we don't have a trained group of Americans that would be the slightest bit prepared to meet the demand.
You're right.
I listened to a program locally in Jacksonville where the guy talked about, and he was a recruiter, where he talked about the biggest problem that his company faces right now is he can't find qualified people. We've abandoned blue-collar work altogether and decided, and we're at a new high, by the way, this year, a brand-new high in 2016, to saddle our little graduates out of college with the highest debt any child has ever had to face, any individual has ever had to face in the history of this country. It's so high, it's egregious.
And Larkin, you're dead on with the problem with can't find employees. I just had a Will Stock drive up from State College. I spent 2 hours with him and his family. He's going for welding, metallurgy, grew up as a farmer, dairy farmer, farm work ethic I'm always looking for. And this kid may move here, outstanding kid, but I told him I can't find a kid that ever held a hammer or worked a screwdriver, and that's a shame. If this economy comes back, which it's at its low of its low, and I wish they'd bring that up tonight, this economy is probably the toughest in my 32 years, but we can't find, if it pops back, we're not going to be able to find employees. It's the biggest problem with growing our economy is going to be the skilled work trade loss.
Yeah, right. And we're not ready.
Absolutely.
We're not ready. So as a movement, we need to talk more about more to politicians and more to guests and more to our listeners about the initiative necessary to get our workforce back. We don't have a workforce.
You know, we were talking about doing that thing in the spring, Larkin and everybody. I have a whole plan of how to do that, to bring educators, manufacturers, people in the highest level of the schools to come together and put this on the table, where we could bring out local television stations to give it publicity. We've got to do something. Downsizing the industrial arts and the trades in our schools greatly added to the difficulties in America. The poor people that I meet without any money, without any jobs, it's disgraceful that this is happening in America. These are not people that are out to go to make any kind of crime or anything. These are decent people. But if the jobs are not there, they're not there. How did they not allow to be there? Everything went overseas, and these crazy politicians in Washington, I'm saying Washington, that's where it all starts from, said, well, we live in a free economy. Well, it's about time we start looking out for the American people first, who pay the taxes and have to move forward with America's agenda before we go lower than flat.
And why can't one of the candidates tonight
fall off the floor?
Why can't one of them say, go out and buy Made in America products tonight? It'll do your part tonight. Start helping.
I'll tell you, Mark, it's the same thing when I start, when I give out my stuff about November as American Made Month. Right away, people say, well, does that mean that we should put all the foreign stuff in the back room for the month of November? I said, no. It's just to highlight what you have that's American made. Nobody's saying we want to have a 50-50 balance in America. But when you have 95% now foreign made, when it was 95% American made 30 years ago, you got to do something to correct the issue.
100,000 China stores versus one Made in America store.
Yeah, there's only one Made in America store. Mark, it's almost unbelievable how people can't understand why you can't be in every community.
Michael, I have a quick question.
Yes.
Do we have time, ability for a call-in voter? There's somebody in New York who's just dying to get online to criticize me, and I would like to have a chance for him to say his piece. Can we do it?
Yeah, go ahead. You know the number.
Is it the 888 number?
Yeah.
Is it the 888 number?
Oh, okay, yes. I love blood. I'm got my
all
blood
right.
bath suit on.
I just want to forewarn Larkin, though, because the person calling in is a progressive, and Larkin's popular with him. Larkin, I wouldn't go around advertising that. So the phone number is 888-329-3306.
No. You don't say that. Don't say that online, please.
Please, go ahead. If for the gentleman listening in New York who's texted to him, Rich.
Text it to him.
888-329-3306. Hey, we're...
We're a radio show
that welcomes all political beliefs here. All political.
You know, I want to say, as we're continuing, elected leaders continue. By the way, also people say, how the hell did these elected leaders agree to all these programs and services that put America in $20 trillion in debt? I said, well, because they were never kicked out of office. Maybe there is a term limit necessary. Or maybe we have to educate people to give people an opportunity after they served 8 years, thank you, elect the next person. In other words, with no big to-do, thank you for your service, but goodbye. Putting us in $20 trillion worth of debt, and presently, by the way, only 48% of America's working age and able-bodied people have full-time jobs. Did you hear that statistic? 48% of America's working age and able-bodied people have full-time jobs. It was 78% 35 years ago. We're in a very frightening situation. Now, I'm not quoting those statistics on my own. Those statistics are listed on the United States Bureau of Labor and Statistics. They're not my figures. They're on the National Debt Clock. You can Google them online and get the information. How did it get to this point? You know how it did? Because the political people danced around at election time. They wasted a lot of time. Issues were really never discussed. And because of that, the election passed. They got in office. And everything continued for the next 4 years. And that was it. This is the first time. Maybe it is the bloodiest election, Larkin. I agree. But maybe many of the things that have been said needed to be said at this time. So the American people can never say, oh, we just heard about it now. No, it's being discussed on every station, and people are coming forth to give their opinion. Tonight, I plead with everyone, on this October 22nd, 2016, beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, tune in and then let me know what you think. I'm very easy to get a hold of. Remember, my address is, if anybody from Hillary Clinton's campaign or Trump's campaign is available to join us or let me know what they think, my address is michael@americanworkersradio.com. Well, gentlemen, we have about 8 minutes to go, but I want to say this to you. I'm going to ask each of you to give us your thoughts as to what you feel would be best to make America a better place. We're going to start off today with Larkin. What do you say, Larkin? What would you like to see? Best case scenario.
The best case scenario is that everybody allows me personally to go out and select a dictator to take over in Washington, D.C., that they be apolitical, and that they be charged with putting this country back on the right road. Strengthen the country, make it America again, whatever you want to say, whatever the political fodder is. We need a statesman. We need somebody who doesn't care about party. We need somebody. You know, I heard the other day that over 50% of Congress was changed in the last election. That, you know, that, and this person's yelling at me, term limits isn't the problem. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is, because the Steny Hoyers and the Mitch McConnells are still here, and they're here year after year after year. You know, maybe you do change the ranks, but we got to get rid of this phony leadership that's getting absolutely nothing accomplished. So basically, what would I do? I'd hire a dictator to put us back on course. I think we're in that. I think it's that serious. I really do.
Mark, what would you do? What would you think would be best?
Well, we need a non-selfish leader that loves our country, believes in God we trust, and just gets it. That selfless, you know, just doesn't want it for the dollar, will donate the time and effort and be a great leader and bring the people together. There's so much work to do, we'd have to design that plan. I always think of Larkin's, what was your Christmas plan, Larkin? You know, you don't bring that up. Maybe you could send that tonight. Maybe they can use it at 9 o'clock.
Right.
You know, very well said.
That was the plan.
Yeah, yep.
Rich, Christmas, what would you like to add?
And that Christmas plan was 3 years ago, and for the
right?
the dictatorship, I nominate a ticket of Connolly and Andel, or Andel Connolly. I'll take either. Who's the vice dictator here? Because I'll be happy with both of those tickets. Michael, before you can thrive, you've got to survive, and we're barely surviving. We've got a lot of big, big, deep-rooted issues that we are going to have to deal with after this election. Absolutely, and this election is a reflection of that. But we got to stop the bleeding, folks, because we'll never have ever, Larkin, a chance for statesmen and honest government, I believe, ever again, if this thing doesn't happen the way we need it to. That's not I wish I had a better answer, Michael, but before we can thrive again, we've got to survive, and we're barely surviving. We've got to take care of that now.
Well, as we get closer to our sign-off today, I just want to tell you, I'm urging everyone to go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. On there, you'll see several links of very important interest. but you'll also see the debt clock. Our national debt, as we speak, is $19,706 billion. We have a total of 324 million people in America. Only 152 million are working. 94 million are not in the workforce. Now, as a statistic, not in the workforce back in the year 2000, there were 79 million people. We had many more children who were prospering in schools. We had many more children who were graduating. Today, our prisons are full. Our children are not graduating. Those that go on to higher institutions of learning, you will see how much money is owed on the debt clock by those boys and girls. You'll see how healthcare has gone up unbelievable. And I'm told that on January 1st, many of the programs are going to go up, at least in Pennsylvania, 32.5%. That's not leadership. That's not national leadership. All of these things have to be reviewed. The health care. What are we doing in our schools to teach our children that they have a trade or some future, that they leave the school and they're able to move forward and go to a place to get a paycheck? What do we do with the people who are out of work that need to be retrained? Let's get those facilities up and moving. This is what I would like to see the candidates discuss. But is that going to happen tonight? Well, as I said, tonight, the 22nd of October, 2016, is going to be a very important night. Next Wednesday is the 26th. We'll be looking to discuss all of the things that we see on the debate tonight. And hopefully we'll have some guests from the Trump or the Hillary Clinton campaign join us next week. And I hope that all of you will be with us again. I want to thank Mark Andel. I want to thank Rich Loges. And I want to thank Larkin Connolly. And I want to thank our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. And I want to thank Tim Holleran and all the gang at the station for all they do to help us make our broadcast a reality each week. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you the very best. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for spreading the word. You'll be able to get a rebroadcast up on the Internet as soon as possible. Until then, my best to you and yours.
All right, gentlemen. Thanks,
everyone.
Have a great week. Take care, Tom.
And we're going to get my callers on next week. Get well, Henry.
The preceding program, the Polish American Radio Show, was brought to you by Polish American Radio.